Dr. Balaga here. This podcast belongs to a series of 10 podcasts on obesity. It's derived from an outstanding chapter on obesity in Balaga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. After completing these 10 podcasts, you should be having a solid foundation in obesity. As you know, obesity is in 1/3 of US adults and is therefore an important area to have at one's fingertips. This outstanding chapter is authored by Dr. David W. Lam, MD, who is Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York. He's also the Associate Director of the Mount Sinai Diabetes Center. The senior author is Dr. Robert Yanagisawa, who is a Professor of Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. He's the Program Director of Clinical Fellowship in Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism. He also directs the Mount Sinai Weight Management Program and has more than 15 years of experience taking care of obese patients. Multiple choice question. A 35-year-old female presents with a BMI of 28 and has attempted to make dietary modifications and increase physical activity over the last 6 months without any success in weight loss. She's working with a registered dietitian and also has hired a personal trainer to help her with exercise. She's interested in pharmacotherapy for her obesity. She has no significant past medical history. After reviewing her blood work, you discover she also has a fasting blood sugar of 102 milligrams per deciliter and another fasting blood sugar of 105 milligrams per deciliter. What is the most appropriate recommendation in response to her request? A. Continue lifestyle modifications for another 6 months and then re-evaluate the need for pharmacotherapy. B. Start liraglutide. C. Given her BMI of 28, she's not obese, and therefore there is no indication for pharmacotherapy. And D, start orlistat. Overview of the treatment of obesity. Once the decision has been made to start treatment, it is paramount that goals of therapy be delineated to ensure that reasonable expectations are set. Patients often have too high of an expectation for weight loss, and this leads to premature diet failures. The first goal of the obese patient is the prevention of weight gain, even if they're not prepared for weight loss. Following this, a reasonable goal is for an initial loss of 5-7% of their initial body weight. A comprehensive treatment plan can be forged over several visits, which may incorporate various options available, including behavior modification, dietary changes, physical activity, pharmacotherapy, and surgical intervention. Dietary modifications. To date, no single dietary plan has been widely accepted as optimal for weight loss. Of all the numerous diets on the market, none has proven to be superior to a regular dietitian recommended individualized low-calorie diet. Indeed, most long-term weight loss programs fail unless behavioral aspects are dealt with. All studies show that a combination of caloric intake reduction with aerobic exercise is the only way to maintain weight loss. The major classes of diets include low fat, low carbohydrate, and low calorie diets. Low fat diets are those that restrict fat intake to 25-35% of daily energy intake. This is actually the recommended intake of fat for the general population. low-carbohydrate diets are those that advocate minimizing carbohydrate intake to 20 to 200 milligrams per day, that is 20 to 100 milligrams per day, depending on the type of diet and its stage, with the additional calories needed originating from protein and fat. Lastly, low-calorie diets typically use between 800 to 1200 kilocalories per day. In the long term, it's usually more practical to have diets which contain more than 1200 kilocalories. Several long-term randomized trials comparing various diet programs for weight loss, including low-calorie and low-fat diets, have recently been performed. In the study of 160 overweight participants randomly assigned to one of four diets for 1 year, Atkins, which is carbohydrate restriction, Zone, which is macronutrient balance, Weight Watchers, which is caloric restriction, or Ornish, which is fat restriction. All four diets resulted in moderate weight loss at 1 year, with no statistically significant differences between diets, and no meaningful differences in heart disease risk factors or insulin resistance. Implementing dietary modifications can only be done with a comprehensive examination of current food intake and educating the patient regarding implementing some form of dietary modification. It can often help to conceptualize energy balance using their current food intake and estimated energy expenditure. For example, using the Mifflin-St. Jour formula to demonstrate the effect of dietary modifications on energy balance. Exercise. Aside from weight loss, exercise has several benefits for patients, including a decrease in body fat, an increase in lean body mass, a decrease in insulin resistance, a decrease in blood pressure, and favorable effects on lipid profiles. Sole implementation of exercise is less likely to result in significant weight loss and must be combined with other changes. When initiating an exercise program for patients, it's important to emphasize safety and a gradual progression in exercise intensity. The ultimate goal should be at least 30 minutes of moderate physical activity 5 days of the week. Pharmacologic treatment. The major classes of medications used for the medical treatment of obesity include intestinal fat absorption inhibitors, CNS stimulants that act as appetite suppressants, selective serotonin agonists, which act as appetite suppressants, and most recently, a combination agent. In addition, when other comorbidities, specifically diabetes, are present, there are medications which have associated weight loss. Few medications are indicated for long-term treatment of obesity, and all medications should be used in conjunction with behavioral modification, dietary changes, and exercise. The actual weight loss achieved by an individual patient is variable and often below the reported efficacy. Pre-treatment counseling should be provided to the patient to set expectations. Pharmacologic agents for treatment of obesity include A. Intestinal fat absorption inhibitor like orlistat. Its efficacy, it's 5 to 10 kilo weight loss. It's used for long-term therapy of obesity. Side effects include oily spotting, intestinal cramps, gas, and loose stools. B. CNS stimulants that act as appetite suppressants, such as benzphetamine, diethylpropion, fendimetrazine, and phentermine. It's used short-term, less than 12 weeks. The efficacy are variable. Side effects include increased palpitations, increased blood pressure, and insomnia. C are selective serotonin agonists, which act as appetite suppressants. For example, lorcaserin is used when the BMI is greater than or equal to 27 with weight-related comorbidity, or when the BMI is equal to or greater than 30. The efficacy, 5% body weight loss. Side effects include headache, URI symptoms, and recommend baseline echocardiography. Next group of drugs are combination agents, which include topiramate and phentermine together. It's again used when the BMI is equal to or greater than 27 with weight-related comorbidity, or when the BMI is equal to or greater than 30. Efficacy, 7.8% weight loss in the phase 3 trial. Side effects include dry mouth, paresthesia, constipation, and dizziness. The next group of drugs include combination agents, which include naltrexone hydrochloride with bupropion hydrochloride. Again, it's used when the BMI is equal to or greater than 30, or when it's equal to or greater than 27, associated with weight-related comorbidity. The efficacy, it results in about 4% weight loss in 1 year in patients without diabetes. Side effects include nausea, vomiting, constipation, and headache. The next group of drugs is GLP-1 analog. Liraglutide belongs to this group. Again, it's used when the BMI is equal to or greater than 27 with weight-related comorbidity, or when BMI is equal to or greater than 30. Efficacy, 4.5% weight loss in 1 year in patients without diabetes. Side effects include nausea, vomiting, dyspepsia, and pancreatitis. The next group of drugs include bigonides, particularly metformin, used in type 2 diabetes. The efficacy is about 0.6 to 2.7 kilo weight loss. Side effects include abdominal discomfort, diarrhea, and anorexia. The next group of drugs include alpha-glucosidase inhibitors. Examples include acarbose and migalitol, again used in type 2 diabetics. The efficacy is 0.5 kilo weight loss in 1 to 3 years. Side effects include abdominal pain, flatulence, and diarrhea. The final group of drugs include an amylin mimetic, example pramlintide, again used in type 2 diabetics. Efficacy, 1.5 kilo weight loss. Side effects include nausea, vomiting, and anorexia. Multiple choice question again. A 35-year-old female is overweight, BMI 28, and has attempted to make dietary modifications and increase physical activity over the last 6 months without any success in weight loss. She's working with a registered dietitian and also has hired a personal trainer to help her with exercise. She's interested in pharmacotherapy for obesity. She has no significant past medical history. After reviewing her blood work, you discover she has fasting blood glucose of 102 milligrams per deciliter and 105 milligrams per deciliter. What is the most appropriate recommendation in response to her request? A. Continue lifestyle modifications for another 6 months and then reevaluate the need for pharmacotherapy. B. Start liraglutide. C. Given her BMI of 28, she is not obese, and therefore there is no indication for pharmacotherapy. And D. Start orlistat. And the answer is 1D. Start orlistat. Explanation: this patient has impaired fasting blood glucose and is overweight. Current indications for pharmacotherapy are a BMI greater than 30 or a BMI greater than 27 with significant medical complications. Therefore, option B and C are incorrect. A failure of behavioral approaches, including diet and exercise, and therefore option A is incorrect. And no strong contraindications to the medication. This series of 10 podcasts on obesity is derived from an outstanding chapter in Baliga's textbook of medicine on obesity. The book is available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's authored by Dr. David W. Lam, MD, and Dr. Robert Yanagisawa, MD, both faculty endocrinologists at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. That's the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York. Dr. Lam is the Associate Program Director for Diabetes. And Dr. Yanagisawa is a Professor of Medicine and the Program Director of the Clinical Fellowship in Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism. He also directs the Mount Sinai Weight Management Program and has more than 15 years of experience in taking care of obese patients.